The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on December 15th, 1981 in Bombay, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 34. This class was recorded on the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj.
Translation of the petition. The Supreme Unborn.
Supreme Unborn.
Lord Sri Krishna.
Lord Sri Krishna.
Cause the members of the Yadu dynasty.
Cause the members of the Yadu dynasty.
To relinquish their body.
To relinquish their body.
And thus he relieves.
Thus he relieves.
The burden of the world.
The burden of the world.
This action was light.
This action was light.
Picking out a thorn.
Picking out a thorn.
With a thorn.
Both are
the same. To the controller. Purport by His Divine Grace to the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur suggests that the rishis like Sonak and others who were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami at Nainisharanya were not happy to hear about the Yadus dying at the madness of intoxication. To give them relief from this mental agony, Suta Goswami assured them that the Lord caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, by which they had to take away the burden of the world. The Lord and His eternal associates appeared on earth to help the administrative demigods in eradicating the burden of the world. He therefore called for some of the confidential demigods to appear in the Yadu family and serve him in his great mission. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. The demigods are accustomed to drinking the somarasa beverage, and therefore the drinking of wine intoxication are not unknown to them. Sometimes they were put into trouble for indulging intoxication. Once the sons of Kuvera fell in the wrath of Narada for being intoxicated, but afterwards they regained their original forms by the grace of Lord Sri Krishna. We shall find this story in the 10th canto. For the Supreme Lord, both the asuras and the demigods are equal. For the demigods are obedient to the Lord, whereas the asuras are not. Therefore, the example of picking out a thorn by another thorn is quite befitting. One thorn which causes pinpricks to the leg of the Lord is certainly disturbing to the Lord, and the other thorn which takes out the disturbing element certainly gives service to the Lord. So though, although every living entity is a part and parcel of the Lord, still one who is a pinprick to the Lord is called an asura, and one who is a voluntary servitor of the Lord is called a devata or a demigod. In the material world, the devatas and asuras are always contending, and the devatas are always saved from the hands of the asuras by the Lord. Both of them are under the control of the Lord. The world is full of two kinds of living beings, and the Lord's mission is always to protect the devatas and destroy the asuras. Whenever there is such a need in the world, and to do good to both of them. Thus, in the purport of text 34, chapter 15, canto 1, by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Today, on the auspicious occasion of the disappearance festival of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, this sloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam successfully illuminates us to how the coming and going of great devotees is all under the control of Lord Sri Krishna Himself. That no one should lament for the disappearance of a great Vaishnava on any kind of material score, that now they are finished or they're dead or something like that. A Vaishnava never dies. Rather, the Lord has some other task for them, or the present period of their pastime has reached a climax and the Lord has desired to call him back. Therefore, for the Lord's own purpose and his own sweet will, he winds up the visible activities of a devotee in this world. That is not a source of misery, actually, that is a source of rejoicing, because that is another example of the perfection of devotional service, that by performing devotional service at the end of life, one again regains his eternal position in the association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. That is just the sign of victory. However, for those devotees who are yet remaining in this world, it is still a matter of regret because they are not getting the association of such great souls. And being bereft of such association, or having, like unfortunate souls like ourselves, never having had the association, having missed that opportunity, that is a source of separation or a source of unfulfillment to us who are left here in this material world without getting such association and being deprived of such association of pure Vaishnavas by whose glance, by whose remembrance, and by whose darsha, by whose mercy one is given pure devotional service and is immediately transferred to the transcendental plane. So, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami, he would tell us that there's no reason for lamenting on a disappearance day. Disappearance, appearance, they're all the same. For the Vaishnava, coming from the spiritual, coming into the world to distribute the glory of the Lord, or leaving from the world to return back to the shelter of the Lord, everything is glorious. Still, disappearance brings with it the separation that now we are no longer having the association of that great Vaishnava. Except by his remembrance and by his glorification. But in a physical sense, we are not able to perceive his presence. Therefore, that is something which leaves us empty. That is technically known as Virohi. So actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a great revolutionary in the spiritual science. He was, of course, from his very birth, he was especially a Nitya Siddha devotee that was sent, an actual ray of Vishnu sent by Krishna to answer the prayer of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his pure Vaishnavi wife. They had prayed that Vishnu would send a ray or a pure, empowered Nityasiddha devotee into their family to carry on the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pure form. So, especially in those days, and the people were rather learned, at the same time, after Bhakti Vinod Thakur had more or less re-established Vaishnava philosophy and way of life into a status of respectability, and still, within the Vaishnava community, there were many, many anomalies. One of the principal anomalies was that people were outwardly putting on different type of shows of being very renounced or of being very Krishna conscious, yet at the same time, because of subtle mistakes in their attitude, they were actually completely missing the point and they were becoming misled by Sahajiya or Mayavadi philosophy, as the case may be. They were becoming overwhelmed by different types of weeds or agachas that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Sanatan Rupa Goswami Shikha. So one of the very beautiful poems that Srila Prabhupada often referred to, which was written by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is Dushta Mon Tumi Kishir Vaishnava. That materialistic mind, what type of devotee are you? And it's a very sad, very long, it's about 19 verses, but it Jai Sri Sri Raj Bihari Di Ki. This poem can, in one sense, give us an insight into some of the special moods of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, I'd already completed a translation and a commentary of this, which is in the being edited right now, but I don't have the copy, so I just have to more or less just pick out some high points and just kind of spontaneous way translate it. Dushtamon tumi kishe vaishnava pratishthar thore nirjhane ghore tavo hari nama kevala koitavo. So he's addressing you materialistic mind, what type of devotee are you? You are actually being overwhelmed by the desire for nidya, for your own fame and prestige, pratishtha, your own position, your own prominence in the society of Vaishnavas and your own position. Therefore, you are going away from the society of devotees. You are going into some type of a independent or solitary room or place. You are making your own independent program. And actually, your so-called Sankirtan preaching or your so-called independent program is simply cheating. Because of your actual inner desire is simply for your own position and not based on pure devotion. Jorer pratishtha sukere vishtha jano na ki taha maya daibhavo khanaka kamini divaso jamini bhaviya ki kaja nityo se sab. That any type of prominence which is visible in this material world, to desire that is like desiring to eat the stool of pigs. Don't you know that anything visible in this material world that we can desire, that is simply an expansion of materialistic, illusory energy? Well, and women, for every day and night, meditating on these things, what is the use? Everything is temporary. Tumar khonaka bhoge janaka khonake dhare sevaho madho. So, if you have some wealth, so that wealth should not be used for sense gratification, but simply used in the service of Madhava. Kamini kam tahe tavo dham tahar malik kevalo jadur. If you have any type of desire for sense gratification or for beautiful women, then actually you should know that all those desires should simply be rather transferred and engaged in the service of Jadava. They should be simply given to Jadava, to Krishna. He is the only reservoir of pure love, pure lusty desires. So, Patishtasa Toru Joramaya Moru Na Pelo Rabuna Jujiya Raghu. Vaishnavi Patishta Tate Koro Nishtha Tahana Bhojile Lobive Rora. If you become under the desire for any type of materialistic position, then that is simply the cause of material death. Because Ravana he desired like that, but he didn't achieve that goal. Instead, he was simply killed by Ramachandra ki. To desire to be a Vaishnava, the servant of the servant of the devotees, that is real position, that is real achievement. For that, you should be very steady. If you don't worship the devotees and try to be the servant of the servant of Krishna, then for all type of show of devotion, all you will get is roar up or one of the hellish existences, the roar of hell. So here Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has taken us to different, because different people have different motivations. Basic thing is that material position. So Mahaprabhu, he described material position as three things. Na janam, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Ma, desire for wealth, desire for mere followers, and desire for beautiful women or sense gratification. These are the three main pratishta motivations. So for any of these three things, one may desire to perform some type of nirjana bhajana. Nirjana bhajana means that doesn't only mean going and imitating Haridas Thakur and chanting 3 lakhs a day. But in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one person cannot do Sankirtan. It requires a joint effort of so many people. Just like Srila Prabhupada said that one person can't do a kirtan. You need a kol, kartal, everything. Like that, ISKCON movement is a joint movement of so many people. It is a combined effort. One person cannot make a worldwide preaching. He has to make so many devotees, and from there only it can go on. Then it is possible. So either one goes solitarily and does just japa like Harinam or like Haridas Thakur, or one in any way or form leaves that mainstream of the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and goes off on some independent mood for the inner desire, not of actually pleasing the spiritual master, not because it's necessary to expand the service, but actually because he feels pinched in some way, not enough followers, not enough position in terms of followers, or sense gratification, women, or whatever, or in terms of monetarily independence. We see every time some grihasthas, they're going aside, they say, I don't get enough money in the temple, it's not up, and even they have a room and everything they want, they go out and get a car, they get a TV set, this, that. Sometimes you find that that's dhanam. Or sometimes people leave, they want to have some illicit sex, so they leave the movement. Sometimes people, they leave the movement because they have some desire to have some followers. They go and set up some independent ashram or independent movement But they have to keep the show of being a Vaishnava. Otherwise, it becomes very degrading. People will simply criticize. So some of them, they just leave and they don't care. Other people, they keep on the show of being a Vaishnava. But inside, they've got other desires which are agitating their mind. This thing, dushta mind, materialistic mind is being agitated by these things. Bhakti Siddhanta is praying that mind, don't be agitated by these things. Don't be affected. These are very dangerous enemies. The real thing to simply desire is be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. Nothing else. That is the only position you want, mind. Don't desire anything else. Don't be misled by any other desire. Be always on the watch out, because if you serve any other desire than that pure desire to be a devotee of the devotee of the devotee of the Lord, it'll simply lead you to hell. Even if you put on a show of being a Vaishnava, doesn't make any difference. You'll be led to hell. So then Bhaktisiddhanta goes on to say, Hari Jana Desh Patisht Asha Klesh Koro Kano Tove Tahar Gaurava Vaishnava Pache Patisht Asha Ache Tate Kabu Nohi Onitya Bhoyevava. So then this is the next stage. He's saying, Hari Jana Desh, to become envious of the devotees of Krishna. This is one of the miserable results of having desire for pratishtha, for position, kamaka kamini jana, followers, wealth, and sense gratification. Anyone or all. Why do you glorify, this envious quality against the Vaishnavas? Why do you think that that is anything glorifiable? Kalkoro kano tobe tar gauram. You should know that behind the Vaishnavas, there is a real position, a real desire for pratishtha which is bona fide. And in that, there is no type of materialistic tinge. In other words, a pure devotee does desire to have Krishna's mercy established all over the world. And for that, he's willing to do whatever it takes. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he accepted Vyas Puja on a raised seat with flowers and so many things, which was not always done by everyone. And he said that this is actually that humility. Because I have to accept as a Vaishnava, as a Guru, on behalf of Vyasadeva. But that is a different thing. A pure devotee is actually desiring to expand the glories of the Lord, may sometimes accept certain things in the service of the Lord, or may sometimes do something. But actually, as Prabhupada said, Bhava Grihi Janardana. Janardana, he takes the inner mood of the devotee. If that pure mood for preaching is actually the motivation, it may appear, that he's desiring some type of materialistic thing, some type of impermanence or this or that. But actually, the only desire of a pure Vaishnava is to expand the glories of the Lord. Inconsequently or inconsequently along the way, sometimes it may come that some glorification or some type of thing is there, some paraphernalia, whatever. But that desire for preaching, just like people would criticize Bhaktisiddhanta for taking car, for taking elephant, what is this? Why doesn't he walk? They'd criticize. No, but he wanted to show that everything can be engaged in the service of Krishna. You don't have to walk when you're carrying Krishna's message. That can be carried in a very royal way, because the message of Krishna is the most divine and sacred and pure thing that has ever come to this world. So, the difference is very subtle. The difference is that the devotee never leaves. The pure devotee is always trying to bring in the Vaishnavas, always trying to push forward the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, never attempt to remain separate or to divide, or to have some type of independent action. Always a desire for increasing the goshti, the community of devotees and increasing the cooperation in every respect, increasing the Sankirtan mood. Externally, appearing to be the, maybe that he's going to preaching or this or that reason, but someone who's going nirjana, that means solitarily, not with the mainstream, either in a group of independent people or even as a total, but the point is that actually separate from that stream coming down from the previous acharyas. What is their actual desire? What is the example shown by the previous acharyas? What is their mood? When someone, due to some other subtle desire for position, goes off from that, then what happens is he says, Hari Jana Dvesh. First thing is to give himself an excuse, he starts to criticize the real devotees. Those who are preaching without any type of particular motivation, more than trying to serve their spiritual master. First thing is that those people who go solitary, they'll criticize. Oh, why they're doing this, why they're doing that. That is always there. Because if you don't criticize someone else's position when you're in the wrong position, then how you can establish your own position? So they become envious of the other devotees. And they immediately start picking out faults. They don't see that what is the effort being given, what is the dedication, what is actual, any good work being done. All they do is pick out some little fault. That's called Harijana Desh, becoming envious of the Vaishnavas. This is the result of that subtle desire for one's own personal prominence, one's own personal position. And that, not only that, but Bhaktisiddhanta says that this enviousness of Vaishnava, that he tells his mind, why you are thinking that's something to be proud of? That you're able to pick out faults in a pure devotee, that's nothing to be proud of. Actually, a pure devotee does have so many type of position, pratishtha, so many desire for, but that desire for position in a pure devotee is a different creation. His desire is simply for the expansion of the glories of the Lord. You should understand this subtle difference. He's trying to instruct his mind. So, like that, I don't know, it's this way we're never going to finish. So, say Hari Samando Sunno Mayagandho Taha Kabu Noi Jorir Koito Pratishta Chandali Nirjanata Jali Ubhoye Janiho Mayika Rogra. So in each verse he's kind of showing the two sides. On one side, to be in relation with Krishna, that is free from all type of sin of Maya contamination. That never has any materialistic cheating propensity in it. On the other hand, the subtle desire for materialistic prominence, position, is like a chandali, like a witch, which drags us down into the net of desire for nirjanata, for independence. Independence of that association and of the devotees, and that association with devotees means that always we'll have to adjust our behavior in tune with the society of the Vaishnavas. Even like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed so many times, he gave way to the desire of different devotees when he realized the actual situation and what people would think. So that type of being with the devotees is a very purifying thing. It always forces one to be very humble. So when one is under the clutches of that witch, a materialistic desire for position, that is just like that it takes one into this net of then wanting to separate from those devotees. Be free from that limitation. Won't have to bother with what other people think. Just start to criticize them, oh, they're this defect, that defect, go out from them, and now I'm free, I can do what I like. Then we're under that clutches of that witch, that chandali, pratishtha chandali, and then we're caught up in the net of materialistic desire. And so he said, both of these things, you see, to have this desire and to go apart from the devotees, you should know both of them are complete maya, hellish existence, nothing else. Kirtana charivo, that I'll give up kirtan, pratishta makibo, I'll anoint myself with the desire for personal importance. Ki kaj turiya tadrishya gaurav. What in this work, what in this type of situation, what is there to be proud of? Madhavendra puri bhava gore churi na kurilo khabu sadai jano. Now Madhavendra puri, when he was, you know all the story of Remuna, kheer chur Gopinath. That when Gopinath stole the kheer from Madhavendra puri and then he gave it to Madhavendra puri, Madhavendra puri, he became afraid that now I'll become very popular. So he ran off. That people will start to say that for me, they stolen the kheer, then they all come to me. I don't want this type of false pride. He ran off. And he was always completely on the transcendental loving attitude. In fact, they said that of all the people in the world, that only Radharani, all the people anywhere, only Radharani has Mahabhav. In addition to her, Lord Chaitanya had Mahabhav and Madhavendra Puri, no one else. So, if someone tries to imitate Madhavendra Puri saying, well, I don't want to be very popular or this or that, I don't want to be with the devotees for this or that reason, and he goes off trying to show that this is some even higher exalted renunciation. So that Bhaktisiddhanta is criticizing. Bhava Gaura Churi means that is just like an external show. It's not that any of the people that do this are on the level of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was a different personality. So he was avoiding all type of this fame and distinction and running off from that not to show humility to others, because he just didn't want to be, he was in a complete Nitya Siddha platform and he didn't want the people to come up and he just had a completely other creation. You can't even compare that with anything that we have any experience of. So that's the basic point. That we should know that if Madhavendra Puri stayed away from the devotees in that type of a mood, that is a complete different creation. There's nothing to do with anything that we could experience. We shouldn't try to imitate. So then he goes on to say, Tumar Pratishtha, Sukare Dishtha. Mind, your desire for importance, this is simply the stool of the swine. Tar saha samakabu na manav. It's not even equal to a normal human standard. Matsarata vase, tumi jora rase, maje cho chariyo kirtana soshtam. Being under the control of matsarata. Matsarata means envy. But you become under the sway of enviousness to other Vaishnavas, therefore under this materialistic mellow, this materialistic emotion, you have thought that you are enjoying actually giving up the eternal nectar of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the real rasa, which is achievable there amongst the devotees. Tai dushtamo nirjana bhajan pacharicho chale khujogi vaibhav. So in this way you naughty mind, in the name of solitary worship, you have made a great propaganda, a great cheating propaganda, actually under the effect of a false Vaishnava or under the effect of a false yogi. In other words, when a person goes off in this solitary way, leaving the actual association of devotees, the Sankirtan movement, and goes off and shows, now I'm like a Madhavendra Puri, or now I'm very qualified on my own. I don't need anything else. Everyone else is Maya. All the other devotees are Maya. I and my three people with me or whatever, we are actually right. Everyone is bogus. And they do a propaganda also. Very clearly says, Pracharicho. They also do a propaganda. We are right, you're all wrong. They're all wrong. This is the standard thing. This is written 100 years ago, 80 years ago. This is the standard thing for people that fall into Maya that are on the Vaishnava path. This is already predicted. These are the ways that those weeds of devotion that come up, the weeds that affect our devotion, this is the way they take our mind away and cheat us. Therefore, he is repeatedly saying to his mind, he's simply on the mental platform. All one has to do is give up every last trace of enjoying attitude, surrender unto the lotus feet of Krishna and the Vaishnava, to the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, and just jump into the Sankirtan movement and preach. And immediately, you see, he tastes transcendental nectar. So the second half of verse 9 is, Prabhu Sanatane Parama Jatane Shikha Dilo Jaha Chinta Se Sob. He says that, remember the teachings at Sanatana, that to Sanatana, so carefully, Lord Chaitanya has given, and meditate on those teachings very carefully. Se duti kotha bhuluna sarvata uchu sare koro hari naam rabo. Remember those two instructions. Don't forget at any time. Chant loudly Harinam and remain engaged in that Harinam Sankirtan. Atar jukto baddha mukto kabuna bhaviho akakar sab. Never think that one who is alone, or one atma or jukta, one who is alone, a soul, and one who is actually engaged in the service of Krishna, one who is a conditioned soul, and one who is a liberated soul, are the same. Never think that it's all the same. That the individual soul basically, the teachings that Sanatana Goswami was given was to water the plant and to pull out the weeds, to watch out for your offenses and watch out for the agachas. These are the teachings that Lord Chaitanya gave. So loudly to chant. Bhaktisiddhanta already told us what the loudest chanting is. Uchusori Kirtan, loud chanting. He said loudest chanting of all was the Brihat Midranga. That is a book distribution. Loud chanting means preaching. Loud chanting means that one person, he can't do a loud Uchusori Kirtan very effectively as you can do when you have 100 people. Similarly, the idea of Sankirtan means what? Song means complete, Kirtan means glorification. That activity which is going to most completely glorify Krishna amongst the people. We built, Prabhupada's desire to build this Bombay temple was to give the complete glorification of Krishna to the Bombay people. Similarly, his desire for other different projects, whether book distribution or whether the Mayapur project, or for different programs that he came up, just like his desire to preach all around India, do festivals, all these different, what is the whole idea of Sankirtan? More completely glorifying Krishna, expanding more and more that glory. So Bhaktisiddhanta goes on, it's a beautiful, beautiful poem here, where he takes one. Here is not time, but it goes to, now he goes into the how the mind sometimes gets misled by a type of sajya bhav, sometimes gets misled by type of false renunciation, sometimes gets misled by type of desire for liberation sometimes gets misled by type of false renunciation. It's called the Falgu Vairagi. He calls himself Kohi Nijityagi Sena Parikabu Hoite Vaishnava. And he described this Falgu Vairagi, this is a very famous saying of Bhakti Siddhanta. In Gaya, there's a river. That river has got no water. It's called the Falgun River. I personally seen. There's no water, just sand. Now apparently Sita Devi, according to some accounts, she cursed that river for some activity he did or didn't do. And therefore cursed him that he no longer have any water. So, and all the people go there and pass stool and everything and burn the dead bodies on top. But then I gave a blessing that because Sita Devi is very kind, according to the, I don't know that this is the actual account, but they say she gave a blessing anyway that you dig a few feet and you find water. Whatever the actual history of the fact is, that's what the local pundits and all say there. But the fact is that the Falgu River, there's no water visible. But if you dig one hand, 1.5 feet, 2 feet down, you get as much water as you want. And everyone's going there digging in the sand, few feet down, the water pours up and they're taking their bath, they're taking the water, going and doing the puja at the Vishnupad temple, doing that same water was used by Lord Chaitanya for doing pindi, for Jagannath Misra, and by everyone that goes there. But if you look, you don't see any water, you just dig a few feet and there's water. So that Bhakti Siddhanta was using that example, that outside they're showing some type of renounced, high exalted type of reason for actually leaving the Sankirtan movement or whatever. But actually, if you just dig a little bit, then just like the Falgu River, you find water. Underneath, there's so many desires for Janam, Dhanam, Sundarim, whatever, that are actually the inner secret, the inner actual essence. It's just outwardly it looks like, oh, he's very tyagi. So this type of example is very vivid. So then the actual whole mood here is summed up in the last three verses that which shows his own real desire. The Radha Dase Rohi Charo Boga Ahi Pratishtasha Mahi Kirtana Gaurav. That I want to simply stay as a servant of Srimati Radharani. That I want to just give up all type of desire for any type of enjoyment mood. And that type of desire for position has nothing to do with the actual glories of kirtana. I want to simply give my mind. Radha Nitya Jana Tahachari Mon Kanoba Nirjana Bhajana Kvaitava. I want to simply give my mind to the lotus feet of the eternal associates and devotees of Srimati Radharani. Why should I give my mind up into that cheating of some type of solitary attempt for worshipping Krishna? Brajavasi Gana Pracharaka Dhan. The real wealth of the Brajavasi Gans, of the pure devotees of Krishna. Pure devotees of Krishna means Brajavasis. Pracharaka Dhan. The real wealth is preaching. Pracharaka Dhan. The real wealth is preaching. Pratishta Bhikkhuk Dara Nohi Sava. They're not beggars to get any type of personal aggrandizement. They want the glories of the Lord to be established everywhere. He said, Pran Achitar Sehitu Prachar. Because they've got life, because they've got compassion, because they've got real spiritual essence. Therefore, they have the desire to spread the glories of the Lord. Therefore, they're preaching everywhere. Pratisht Ashaheen Krishna Gata Sab. They're completely free from any desire for personal aggrandizement. They are simply tied to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, here he's giving us the idea that to actually, we want to all be Brijavasis. We all want to be residents of Krishna's holy dham and be his pure devotees. There's no other desire for us devotees. So he's giving us that assurance, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, that simply preaching, that is the real wealth. You go on glorifying Krishna, glorifying Krishna, glorifying Krishna, without any inhibition, without any feeling of guilt, or without any feeling of any, that by glorifying Krishna somehow, this in a grand way, that anything there is touched with Maya. No, there's nothing to do with Maya. You go on glorifying Krishna. That is the real wealth. The only reason why someone gives his whole life, energy, everything for glorifying Krishna, it's not because he's got some desire for material importance. The real preaching mood is only coming in those people who have actually got that spiritual essence, who've got that pran. So, in the end he says that, Sri Dayita Das Kirtanate As Kora Uchu Sori Hari Nama Rabo, that Sri Dayita Das Bhakti Siddhanta Das, Bhakti Siddhanta, or the servant of Srimati Radharani, is simply having that desire to engage in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to always remain amongst the loud chanting of the Harinam. Kirtana Prabhave Smorana Swabhave Sekale Bhajan Nirjana Sambhav. There, under the effect of that kirtan, of that glorification of the Lord, there automatically comes that nature of remembering the Lord. And there, at that time, amongst the huge, widespread broadcasting of the glories of the Lord, that Sankirtan with so many devotees, at that time, automatically, that natural remembrance of the Lord comes, and at that moment, it is possible to actually achieve the intimate realization of Krishna, the real Nirjana Bhajan, the real solitary worship, where the individual soul is completely surrendered and completely realized in pure Krishna frame of the eternal goal of our life, C.C. Radha Krishna. At that time, that Sankirtan with so many devotees, at that time, automatically that natural remembrance of the Lord comes, and at that moment, it is possible to actually achieve the intimate realization of Krishna, the real Nirjana Bhajan, the real solitary worship, where the individual soul is completely surrendered and completely realized in pure Krishna frame of the eternal goal of our life, C.C. Radha Krishna, at that time. In other words, he's giving us that assurance that actually if anyone wants to achieve real understanding of Radha Krishna Prema, what is the pure love of the Brajavasis or the Gopis, what is the pure love, the highest love that is existing in Golok Vrindavan, you won't get that by leaving the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or doing any type of solitary attempt which is not necessary for actually expanding the preaching. But actually by simply engaging in that glorification of the Lord, engaging in that Sankirtan, even you're with so many devotees, even you're in such a united effort, but actually in that complete dedicated mood, at that time, internally, that solitary, intimate relationship with Krishna is established, known as confidential bhakti, anuraga bhakti. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is actually revolutionary. That he took the humble position, took sannyas, said, I'm taking sannyas because I'm not a Vaishnava, I'm only trying to be servant of the Vaishnava. Because so many people were saying Vaishnava should never be a sannyasi, Vaishnava is so exalted. But he could see that in the name of Vaishnavism, they have all these desires. So he said, no, I'm not a Vaishnava, yes, I am taking sannyas. Because sannyas is varnasram, we're beneath Vaishnava, we're simply trying to glorify the Lord as a humble fourth order of life, not as an exalted Vaishnava, we have not reached that. That's his humility. That wasn't a desire for establishing some kind of new type of importance. Actually, it was his humility for preaching. So in every day and age, there are different type of mayas that come, but the basic essence is to preach the glories of the Lord, put ourselves in that fire, and then avoid all type of the mental independence that comes and tries to take us away from that pure path. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, He personally showed the pure example of that through his whole life. And he established Krishna consciousness all over the world, simply trying to maintain the mood of his spiritual master. In so many ways, for most of his life, up till about 60 years, he was always simply working with his god brothers in every respect. But even to the very end, he was always calling them over and asking that please come and have a united effort. But he was very sad that his god brothers would not make that united effort. And that is the only reason, because Prabhupada kept up that constant Sankirtan mood of trying to bring everyone into the Sankirtan, trying to make a united effort, trying to maintain the pure mood of his spiritual master, that he was always empowered by the Lord. He had actually understood the essence of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings. So he has personally established his ISKCON society under his own guidance and under his own hand, and he has organized it and set it up exactly to his own desire so that we can carry on that same mood that is being handed down in the disciplic succession. So that great responsibility now is upon all of us to try to maintain that true, original and true preaching spirit, and know that by that means we'll get the favor of Srimati Radharani, not by putting on some type of false show or this or that, but by keeping into this preaching spirit of glorifying Krishna, of bringing the people who are fallen in this material world to the lotus feet of Krishna and glorifying Krishna everywhere. That is a very simple and sublime process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, explained by Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, and put into practical effect by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our beloved spiritual master and founder Acharya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jai! C.C. Paramahansa Parabhaja Acharya Suresi Simad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Ki! Jai! Vishnu Paramahansa Parabhaja Acharya Suresi Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki!
Jai!
Jai Sangha Veda Bhakti Vindu Ki!
Jai!